1 Corinthians 15. I won't be long, Lord willing. I won't be long. 1 Corinthians 15. I love this chapter. Think about if 1 Corinthians 15 was not in your Bible and you didn't have it in your Bible. This is Resurrection Sunday and Jesus Christ never resurrected. They wouldn't have been able to put this in the Bible if Jesus Christ never resurrected, if he never came up out of the grave. Amen. And the Bible says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Mike was teaching a while back on the gospel. And a lot of people say, claim they know the gospel. They have the gospel. They really don't know it. They really don't know what the gospel really is. Some of them think it's gospel is people falling down on the floor, speaking in tongues and wagging their heads and their tongues and everything else and all over the place. And that's the gospel. No, that ain't the gospel. And I ask people all the time, explain to me the gospel. And it's real clear and real simple in the Bible. It's real simple. And if the gospel is, it says, I preach unto you, which also have you received, wherein ye stand. I stand in the gospel. It says, by which also ye have saved. It says, if you keep in memory, when I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And the Bible talks about being vain belief, vain faith. And I hope you're not vain in your faith. They say you used to sing a song back in the 60s and 70s, you're so vain. We all kind of vain in that sense, but when it comes to your faith, you should not be vain in your faith. You should not be vain in what you believe. I believe the Word of God, and I'm glad the Word of God is alive and well. Amen. For I declare unto you, here's the gospel. You need to mark it in your Bible. You're sitting at home, get off your hind. Get off your butt and get a pen and write, underline it in your Bible. He says, for I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I have also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried. He died and buried. And thank God it just didn't stop there. It didn't stop. Died and buried. And a lot of people die and they're buried, but it didn't stop with Jesus Christ there. I went over to Jerusalem, and I seen in Jerusalem where Jesus Christ was crucified, and then Joseph of Arimathea, the tomb that he went into, and it wasn't far. The Bible says it wasn't far from Calvary, and it was not that far. It was a garden spot, and that's where it was, right? Not far from Calvary. It was a garden spot, and inside there, we took pictures of it. They got bars in there, and I don't know if that was to keep people in or what, but actually to keep people out. And we seen that place, and we seen where he was crucified, and he rose from the grave. He rolled the stone away. But the Bible says the gospel is a death, burial, and then it says he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that's what the gospel is. But we're not preaching about the gospel. And it says he was seen of Cephas, that's Simon Peter, and then of the 12. And he was seen of me above above 500 brethren at once. I mean, Jesus Christ shows up, and the Bible says he was not only there at one time, he was there for 40 days. I mean, the Lord, take your Bible, look in the book of Acts, and look at Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, the Bible tells us that he showed up and he was around for 40 days. That's wild. And you know, the Bible tells us that when he rose from the grave, that he also led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And thank God for that. And we'll look at that in a minute. But look in Acts chapter 1 and look what it says. In Acts chapter 1 it says, to whom also he showed himself, verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after this passion by many infallible proofs. Now all the new Bibles take infallible out of it. They take infallible out of the Bibles. Why? Because of Jesus Christ, the Word of God is infallible. And they don't believe that. A lot of these professors, they don't believe that the Word of God is infallible and that Jesus Christ is infallible. And the Bible says, for to whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You think if he sat around for 40 days teaching disciples, showing up to 500 brethren at once and all that, you think he ain't coming back? Oh, my Lord, brother, sisters, he showed up and he was there for 40 days. That'd be something to be around Jesus Christ in his resurrection form for 40 days showing up. You'd be sitting at the table and all of a sudden he'd walk in. The Bible says on the road of Damascus, he was on the road at Damascus and he came out and he acted like he was going to go. And they said, he started walking along with two of the disciples. And he said, what are y'all so sad about? And they said, well, haven't you heard? Were you a stranger around here? And he says, no, I haven't heard. What's going on? Here he was, the Messiah, the Savior the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, resurrected, walk along the road. And the Bible says they talked him into going with them and walking down the road with them. And then they went into the house and sat down at meat. And the Bible says when he blessed the food, he disappeared. They went, oh, that's him. I mean, can you imagine for 40 days he's walking around fellowshipping with the saints of God and he show up? I'll tell you what, make you do right. You're thinking the Lord would show up anytime, but you think about this. He's with you all the time anyway. Amen? He's with you. And look what the Bible says back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And it says, 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remaineth on this present time. But this present. And some have fallen asleep. Talking about they passed away. Now they're all passed away now. But after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. That was Paul the apostle. I am the least of the apostles, for I am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. He says, I am what I am. He says this, and he says in verse 11, he said, whether it were I or they, so we preach, so ye believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he arose from the dead, now say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? I mean, he resurrected Lazarus, and Lazarus is the type of a Christian that's going to be resurrected. And then it says, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. He said, what I'm doing right now, if Jesus Christ is not alive and he hadn't risen, what I'm doing right now is just vain words. It's just vain. And preachers all over this world today, preaching of the resurrection is just vain. And he says, now what the Pope's doing is vain, that's for sure. But he says there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith is also vain. You need to underline that in your Bible. If Jesus Christ is not resurrected, everything we're doing is vain. He says, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ. We got things going off. Whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead raised not. For if the dead raised not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. And you are yet in your sins. And man, if Jesus Christ did not resurrect, we're dead in our sins. Man, we're still, if Jesus Christ didn't resurrect, what we're doing is preaching is vain. All this stuff is vain. Everything's vain. But it is not vain. We heard that song they were singing, but I've escaped that awful place, man, because he rose from the grave. But now is Christ, look what the verse 20 says. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And since by man came death, and by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Jesus Christ is called the second man, Adam. By death came by Adam, and he's the second man, Adam. It goes on down, tells you that he rose from the grave. Now, let me go back here to Matthew chapter 25, 25, and show you where when he resurrected, I was showing a guy this, and a guy didn't believe it. He said, no way did he. He rose from the dead. No way did he come up. And I showed him this in Matthew 25. And a lot of the Church of God, the worldwide Church of God, they don't believe that Jesus Christ resurrected. And I was dealing with this guy about this. And he said, no way did he resurrect. But the Bible tells you that the saints of God, the Old Testament saints, came out of the grave after his resurrection. And Matthew chapter 25, it's 26, Matthew 26, and Matthew 26, and look at here it is. No, it ain't. That ain't it. No, that ain't it either. Let me go on back. 27, I think it is, and... 27, there it is. Matthew 27, verse 51. Matthew 27, 51. And it says, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open. A lot of the Old Testament saints come up out of the grave. The graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came up. Now notice, you got to notice this. This guy didn't believe that they came up after his resurrection. Notice what it says. And it says, graves were open, verse 52, and came up out of the grave, verse 53, after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. I was telling this Jew that the other day. I said, a lot of Old Testament Jews that believed came up. They came up and they were preaching in Jerusalem. He said, that's in the Bible? I said, sure is. It's in the Bible. And Jesus Christ brought them Old Testament saints. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. He took all the Old Testament saints that were out in hell and led captivity captive and took them up into third heaven. Now go back to 1 Corinthians. I'm trying to preach fast. That's what I'm trying to do. And 1 Corinthians 15. And it says, if Christ be not risen, verse 17, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. I'm glad he washed away my sins. I'm glad I could sing those songs that, you know, are you washed in the blood, in the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. I'm glad I can sing those songs because I am washed. You're saved, you're washed. If you're watching this broadcast, if you're not saved, you're not washed in the blood. The death angel is not going to pass over you. I mean, like over in Exodus chapter 12. That is verse 20, it says, now if Christ be risen from the dead, then becometh the first fruits of them that slept. And since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. You need to remember that. After that, afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. And then it says, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, then he shall put down all rule and all authority and power. And he must reign till he had put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Thank God for that. Death. You find in Revelation chapter 6, you'll find all these things showing up in the tribulation period, and death and hell followed them, the pale horse rider. Death and hell followed them. The Bible says, and death is going to be destroyed. Hallelujah. And it says in verse 27, for he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, and it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subject unto him, hallelujah, I'll be looking forward to that. My salvation is not in the government. It's not dependent on the government or anybody or anything other than God himself. And when all things are made subject unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, all three in Genesis were together. When he said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And then when Jesus Christ came to earth, the Trinity was split. God the Son came to be born of a virgin. God the Holy Ghost was waiting. And after he had ascended up, he said, I send you a comforter. He comes inside of us. God the Father is still on the throne. One day, all things are going to be back to like it was. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost going to be put together again, back in one. And there are one now, but they were split. But the Bible says, when all things shall be subject unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? This is a verse that the Mormons try to use to baptize the dead and say that, you know, the dead are, that's the way you get your sins washed away. That's not what it's talking about. If the dead raise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? And, you know, we baptize people in likeness of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But when you got saved, you got baptized into the blood of Jesus Christ. And we're baptized in the blood. And the Mormons try to say this is why you need to be baptized. And you can baptize yourself. You get baptized 100 times and baptize all your relatives in the past. That's a lie. And, you know, religion always gets it wrong. Always. Religion always makes up junk. The Catholic Church makes up that Jesus Christ was a perpetual virgin. She was not. You find in Mark chapter, I think it's Mark chapter 5, Luke, where Jesus Christ had brothers and sisters, and he was a carpenter's son. They said they were mocking, saying, is this not the carpenter's son that his sisters and brothers are with us? And Jesus didn't teach that Mary was a perpetual virgin like the Catholic Church teaches. And the Mormons teach a lot of things that are being taught by religion are not right. The Bible can straighten that mess out. Amen. And look at verse 30. Why stand we in jeopardy? I'm trying to hurry. Why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts of Ephesus, what advantage it me if the dead raise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And boy, I tell you what, that's the way I used to live. I used to live where we eat, drink, and for the morrow we die. I got hope now. I got, the Bible calls it the blessed hope. And if you're not saved, you can have that same hope. It says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. For some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, thou fool. You know, over in, everybody knows that you, in Matthew, it says, if you're in jeopardy of your hellfire, if you call somebody a fool. Paul calls somebody a fool. Jesus Christ called people fools. He said, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat and of some other grain. But God giveth it a body, and that pleased him to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is some one kind of flesh of men, and another flesh of beasts, and another of fish, and another of birds. Tell that to the evolutionists. And there are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. Every star is different. And so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. We're going to be, I usually use these verses when I get to a preaching a grave at a grave site or preaching a funeral for somebody that's saved. It is sown, it's sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Verse 43, it is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body. That's what I'm in. And there's a spiritual body, which is inside me. There is a written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, but the last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was the first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man of the is the Lord from heaven. And as the earthly, such as are also, I messed that up. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, so shall we also bear the image of the heavenly. It's saying we're going to have a new body. For this I say, brethren, let flesh and blood, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we call this the rapture. In the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. For the trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. All this has happened because of the resurrection of the dead. Now the Bible talks about, it says in verse 51, let's go back to 51 and look at that. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. Now there's mysteries in the Bible. And there's seven of them. And there's seven mysteries that we deal with. And the first mystery the Bible talks about is right here. And what we're reading here is that we should not all sleep. And the Bible says we shall be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. You know what that is? That's a brand new body. That's a mystery. I'm the Lord. I was over here yesterday cutting grass, and I looked over at the graveyard, and the neighbor over here, the farmer, he was out there putting flowers on his mother's grave. And I know the old boy, Mr. Moore's son, I stopped. I was cutting grass. I stopped and looked over at him. He stood there looking at his mama's grave, and he turned around and saw me, and he waved to me. And one day, I wanted to yell over to him and said, one day, she's coming up. She's saved. She's coming up. That graveyard across the street from the church here, there was a lot of people buried there, a lot of saved people buried there. And one day, the ground's going to shake, and the Lord's going to open up the grave. Amen. They're going to come out. That's a mystery. I mean, that's a great mystery. I mean, you know, Buddhism, Mohammedism, all these other religions, they don't have that hope. They don't have that hope. Why? They don't believe it. They don't believe that they're going to resurrect. Now, Jesus tells Mary, look in John chapter 11, Jesus tells Mary, he said, I am the resurrection. Buddha never claimed that. Muhammad never claimed that. They couldn't. Why? They weren't God. Jesus Christ was God. He was God in the flesh. He tells Mary, he says in verse 23 of John chapter 11, and Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall live again. Amen. And arise again. He shall rise again. And now he raised him right here. He raised him. You know, we know Jesus wept in John chapter 11:35. But he raised him from the dead. What happened? What happened to Lazarus? He died again. And guess what? He's going to rise again. Isn't that something? The only guy in the Bible that's going to resurrect twice. That's crazy. And it says, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. No other man, no other religion could ever claim, or no other leader or founder of a religion could ever say that. Now, I use religion loosely here. And Jesus Christ is not, we don't want to say he's the author of religion. He's not. He's not man's the author of religion. But Jesus Christ is the author of resurrection and salvation. He's the author of salvation. It says, and Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never, what? Die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now Mary believed it. Martha believed it. Now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Bible talks about this mystery of verse 51. Now the Bible here, you know, we got this like 1 Corinthians 15 to comfort us. It gives us great comfort. So when I'm preaching a funeral, I can say, hey man, you can't keep a good man down. He's going to come up out of the grave. There's a lot of people that's passed away in our church since I've been here 33 years. And one day, man, they're coming up out of the grave. I've stood over many graves, many people that's saved. I mean, I could name them, go around this room and name them. And man, many of people, I'm going to say, one day they're coming up. They're coming up. They're coming up out of that grave. You say, where are they at right now? The Bible says to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. They're with the Lord. But what happens, the Lord's going to come back and we're going to meet them in the air. And he's going to give them and bring their body up out of the grave. This is a mystery. And what a mystery it is. What a blessed mystery. You know, you look at, I've got a Quran at the house. You look at that, they don't have that kind of hope. They don't have that kind of promise. Only promise they have is if you kill a bunch of Christians and you kill a bunch of infidels, Jews, then you might be able to have 70 virgins in heaven. They lie to them. They lie. They lie just like the Democrats lie. Our brother Jimmy Chandler called me up the other day and said, he said, you know what, all of us are turning into Democrats. He said, man, we're sitting at home. We're not going to church. Don't want to go to work. And just sitting around the mailbox waiting for the check to come in. And that's what we are, turning into a bunch of Democrats. The Bible says, we shall not all sleep. We shall be changed. Praise the Lord. And man, the Lord said, he's coming back. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's a great mystery. You know, the Bible talks about another mystery. Look, you take your Bible, look in 2 Thessalonians. We're talking about the resurrection. That's part of it right there. But here's another mystery in the Word of God. And the mystery, I preached this here at this church before, probably a couple of times throughout the years. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And here's another mystery in your Bible. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And the Bible calls this the mystery of iniquity. A mystery of iniquity. I don't want no part of that. I don't want no part of this mystery of iniquity. Let's start at verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he's coming back. If he didn't resurrect, he couldn't come back. And by our gathering together unto him, that's a rapture, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit. You can get an unclean spirit to trouble you. Your own spirit can trouble you. You can get around some people that have a bad spirit can trouble you, but not nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. I mean, thank God. Woo! Yeah. Looking up, man. Keep looking up. And keep looking for the Lord to come back. Look what the Bible says. Let no man deceive you by any means. And a lot of Christians sit by and say, well, they've been talking about this for a long time. He hadn't come back yet. I'll tell you what, we're closer now than we ever have been. You know what this pandemic done? It shut the world down. And it scared people. People are scared. And they're scared of what might happen. There's people scared to go out of their house. They're scared to do anything. I mean, just think about what the Bible says is going to come. I mean, talk about a third of the population dying. A third. And thank God we didn't have the death that they predicted. And I know it's not over yet. But it says, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. It says, and then it goes on down verse 7, and for the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Now, folks, the mystery of iniquity is working right now. It's working in the world. And the people hate God. They hate Jesus Christ. I mean, they're preparing for the Antichrist. Jesse was just telling me this morning that Bill Gates, he pushed before about a chip, putting a chip in people. And now he's saying a tattoo, a little tattoo that would have all the information. He's saying a little tattoo. Guess where it's going to be? Probably on your right hand or on your forehead. It's just like the Indian folks got that little dot on their head. They say if you go to India and you want a wife, you just scratch off that thing, find out if you get a 7-Eleven or whatever. But they're going to put a little dot on you, a little tattoo. You know, and the world's going crazy over tattoos. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, when I was growing up, man, there was tattoos around. There were people doing tattoos, but now they've gone crazy with whole body tattoos and all that. And you know, a lot of people have to have tattoos to make themselves look tough or make themselves look like an outlaw or make themselves look like they're rebellious. The Bible says that's the mystery of iniquity already working. It's already here. It's working. You've got that rebellion in you. This is talking about a man. It's talking about a man. The mystery of iniquity already worked. This is a mystery. You see what it says? It says this man is taking God's position as himself, saying he's God. And there's a guy in Rome right now that takes that position. He takes that position as if he's God himself. Look what the Bible says. Mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And when then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, then shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Woo! I mean, man, I'm on the winning side. I remember one time I was dealing with these boys that were Satanists, and I was in a Taco Bell or something. And they were telling, I went over and started witnessing to them. They said, man, we're followers of Satan. And we believe in the devil and all this stuff. And they were telling me how great the devil was. I said, y'all a bunch of losers. That's what you are. You're a bunch of losers. And I started preaching to them, and they ran out of there. I ran outside after them. I was yelling at them, you're a bunch of losers. And they're all dressed in black, and they had piercings in their body, all over their nose and their tongues and all that stuff. That stuff is the mystery of iniquity. We already work, man. People are already trying to follow the Satan and follow his devices. Look at verse 8. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. God's just going, you know, the Bible says a two-edged sword comes out of his mouth. Hebrews. And it says, man, he's got a two-edged sword just spewing out of his mouth. Revelation 19. And it says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, verse 9, and signs and lying wonders, with all deceitfulness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Here's something you need to think about. You better pray, God, help me to love the truth. This is the truth, the word of God. Lord, help me to love. That's a mystery in the Bible. I mean, we're talking about Resurrection Sunday. Now, resurrection is a mystery that we should not all sleep, but should we change? The mystery of iniquity is a mystery. It's a mystery that the devil is going to come in man's form and be a man, and he's going to show up and claim he is God and claim that you need to worship him. So when is this going to take place? It's already working, folks. It's already in place. It's coming down the pike. It's coming like a freight train down the track so fast, people, it's going to make your head spin. And Lord's coming back. And Christians, what are they doing? Christians are laying aside, well, he ain't coming back. The Bible talks about that. They're going to say, well, he ain't coming. We just take our ease. And now it's not to take it easy, brother, sisters. Right now is to be faithful and honor God. Love the truth. And when the doors are back open in church, be in church. Show people what you believe by the way you live. Show them. There's a mystery. You know what mystery I like? I like the mystery that the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Take your Bible, look in Ephesians chapter 1. Jesus Christ, not only did he resurrect, but he also gave us the comforter, and that comforter came inside of us. And that's God, God in the flesh. God coming inside, the Holy Ghost, I mean Spirit, God in the Spirit coming inside of us. And Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5 says this. Ephesians 1 verse 5. It says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He adopted us and made his, we're his children. And the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might find grace and help in the time of need. What a blessing that is. And then it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein we have he hath abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mysteries, there it is, of his will. I mean, you read this book, you study this Bible, you'll find the seven mysteries in there, but you'll find out what the will of God is for your life. And it's real simple. The will of God is for you to serve him. The will of God is for you to surrender to him. The will of God is for you to praise him. That's the will of God. That's simple. What a simple thing to do. I mean, you want a purpose in life? People say, well, I feel like killing myself. I ain't got a purpose. You got a purpose. Your purpose is to praise him and worship him, to lift him up. Man, what's the matter with you? Somebody need to smack you upside the head? Wherein he abound, look, it says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. The mystery of his will. Thank God for that. According to his good pleasure. Now, you think God wants you to do harm? You think God wants bad for you? It says, for his good pleasure. It says, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Man, God hadn't even died. He hadn't even died, and he's never going to die, and he's given you an inheritance. What a thing. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Take your Bible, look in Colossians chapter 1. Look in Colossians chapter 1. Look what it says again. Paul talks about this mystery. And boy, he said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. What a great mystery that is. And it's a mystery is something that hadn't been revealed yet. But here he is. He's revealing it through his word. He's revealing the thing to you. And he's given to you the mysteries of his will. And here it is. Looking for Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 25. Look at what the Bible says. Back up to 24. Who now rejoice in my suffering for you. He says, and filled up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake. Paul suffering for the body's sake, which is the church. Paul, thank God for the apostle Paul that preached the word and taught us and put down the mysteries of Christ. And he says, and they suffer for the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which have been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Now, just something you can know. He says he made it manifest to his saints, in whom God would have made known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In the Old Testament, the saints of God had the Spirit of God come upon them. It came upon them, but it also departed. Saul lost the Spirit of Christ, or the Spirit of God. He lost it. And in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon a man, and then it could leave. David said in Psalm 51, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You know what? I finally found something that Ajax can't even wash off. I got the Holy Ghost of God inside me. It can't leave. It can't leave. He's in there permanently. That's why the Bible tells you, don't grieve him. You're bought with a price. Don't grieve him. He's inside you. You're bought with a price. The Holy Ghost of God is inside you. Old Testament saints, David said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. David was scared to death he was going to go to hell because of what he did. You and I, you're saved, man. You're in like Flint. Christ in you. He's inside you. The hope of glory. What a mystery. That never happened until he resurrected. And like I said, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, death, burial, if that stopped right there, we wouldn't even be going on. Everything we got is vain. But that resurrection, woo! He came up out of the grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Man, what a thing. That resurrection. You know what? The Lord's going to come back and take those saints of God that's sleeping in him. What if the Lord came back right now? The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, we which are alive and remain shall be called up together to meet the Lord in the air. The dead shall rise first. They'll rise first. They got 6 more feet to come. But they're going to rise up, and then we're going to go meet the Lord in the air. That's the mystery of the church. Now, this mystery of the Christ in you, the hope of glory, what a blessing that is. We're the sons of God now. Now. You're a child of God now. Why? Because the Holy Ghost of God is inside you and tells you don't grieve him. Why? How'd that happen? Resurrection. Resurrection. Jesus promised, I'll give you a comforter. What a blessing that is. Man, I'll tell you something else. And I'm trying to hurry. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Here's another mystery. Here's another mystery. Jesus Christ getting married. Woo! Man, the wedding day, you know, whenever somebody gets married, it's a high day. That's a high day. That's a blessed day. And man, he come walking out to see that bride come walking down the aisle, and she's dressed in white and all that. And man, it's just, and the groom stand up there, and sometimes they weep and cry, and sometimes they just get beside themselves, and they just overwhelmed. But the Bible says the Lord's going to get married. He's going to marry the church. And you said, well, aren't we in Christ? Well, he's going to marry the church, and it's going to be a wedding. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, look at this, verse 21. Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Talking about husband and wife. It says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. You hear that? The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Oh, I got stuck there. And it says, even as Christ is the head of the church, he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their husband in everything. Husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church. Jesus Christ loved the church. I love my wife. And we're supposed to love our wives. And we're supposed to love them. And, I said, man, I'm happily married. I am. She might not be, but I am. Hallelujah. I'm happy. I'm happily married. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church. And it says, and also, and gave himself for it. And look at this. And that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. You know how you get clean. You start reading this book, and man, you start getting cleaned up. You start confessing things, getting things right. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men love their wives even as their own bodies. And he that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man has ever hated his own flesh, but nourish and cherish it even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bone. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. I mean, this is a mystery. Jesus Christ is going to come back and marry the church. You would say, where is that going to happen? Revelation chapter 19. You go over in your Bible, in Revelation chapter 19, we'll look at it. The Lord's going to have a wedding. After the wedding, there's going to be a supper, and there always is. That's where we get it from. After the wedding, we go over, we usually have a wedding here, we go over to the gym, and we eat a supper, and we dedicate it to the bride and the groom. And then after the supper, then it's going to be a battle. You say, man, what a thing. You talking about husband and wife going home fighting? No, I'm talking about the Lord going to come back and fight against this world. And the Bible says this in Revelation 19. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife had made herself ready. You say, who's the wife? It's you that are saved. Me. I used to have a hard time with this. When I first got saved, I said, I ain't no woman. I ain't no feminine thing. But it's we look at it as between a husband and a wife. It's a, you know, but it's not that way. And it's we become one in him, one with him. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. The marriage of the Lamb has come. His wife has made herself ready. Now, are you stand ready? Are you stand ready? My granddaughters, I come in the house, they like to watch these Christian shows where they're getting married and all that stuff, and I always make fun of it and laugh at it and stuff like that. And when my daughters got married, I had a hard time with that. But you know what? I'm not going to have a hard time with this. No way. I'm going to have a great time with this. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they that are called on the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's where you find there's saints of God going into the, in Matthew chapter 25, there's friends of the bridegroom coming in, and then there's a guy shows up that gets kicked out. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God, and I fell at his feet to worship, and so on. And then it says, I saw heaven open and the Lord's coming back. This is a great mystery. Christ getting married to the church. And you're saved, you're part of the church. Whether you go to a Catholic church, whether you go to a Presbyterian church, well, I'm not a Baptist brider. And I believe this, if you're in a dead church, you ought to get out of it. If you're in the Catholic church and you're saved, you ought to get out of there. Get out of that mess. You know, you say, what do you mean? God commands you in Revelation chapter 18, he says, come out of her, my people. Talking about their Catholic church. Get out of it. I know some saved Catholic people. They are still in the church. That's the only thing they know. But they start reading the Bible, they get out of that mess. I believe you ought to get out of, out of a church that doesn't preach the Bible. If they're just preaching a catechism or some church bylaws, get out of that mess. Get out of there. You ought to get in a Bible-preaching, Bible-believing church. We saw a preacher on the YouTube the other day. He's down in Mississippi. The police showed up and they cracked me up. He was a black preacher at a King James Bible, King James Baptist Church down there. And he walked out there with his camera and he said, boy, there's more cops out here at the church house and we ain't done nothing wrong than I ever seen when I was doing drugs. And they're, you know, Christians are a threat to them and shouldn't be. But there is some saved cops that's out there. Thank God for them. And there's some saved men. But this is Jesus Christ going to marry the church. Ain't nobody going to stop it. Nobody's going to walk in and say, I object. Nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to do that. Thank God. There's seven mysteries in your Bible. And that's four of them right there. And I'm going to leave that with you. All right? So Jesus Christ resurrected. I go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We go through the scenario about before he came on the Palm Sunday. We have Palm Sunday, but 6 days before he came. And, man, we could go through all the scenario where he led up to Jerusalem and went in there. You read your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You read that in the book of Acts. You'll find he's alive. He's well. If you're saved, he's in you. He's resurrected. You need to know him. If you don't know him, you need to bow your head right now and ask him to forgive you. Come in your heart and save you. And pray one for another. Father, we do thank you this morning. Thank you, God, we could have this a video camera. And Father, in the services, we could sit here and preach the word of God and not worrying about somebody breaking through the door with machine guns and all this stuff and trying to stop us. My Father, I thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he's the first fruits and he's the Savior of the world, that the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. And my Father, Lord, I thank you, God, for these mysteries and the word of God. Thank you that Christ in you, the hope of glory, that's what's going to take us out of this. And when the trumpet sounds, Jesus Christ, the hope of glory in us through the Holy Ghost is going to take us out of this body or transform our body and take us up to heaven. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would, Father, help my brothers and sisters, Lord, if they're lacking or they're sitting around not doing anything for you, I pray, God, get a hold of their hearts, help them to want to live for you. And my Father, all over this land, all around the world today, God bless my brothers and sisters. Take care of them and meet their needs. Thank you again for resurrecting. You said, no man taketh my life. If I lay it down, I have power to take it up again. Thank you, God, that all power is given in your hand. Lord, thank you for that. And now, Father, I pray, God, that you'd bless tonight's service and bless all the people watching and save that one. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.